Maseches Yadayim, and in Chulin the beginning of Perek Alabasim. So the Rif here quotes all those Gemaras from Perek Alabasim with the details of the halachas of Pilsit. Then the Perek ends off, the last five lines speak about, a little bit about Mayim Achreinim. We had Mayim Achreinim before, Perek Shloshim Shachlo, the Gemara says, take care for the Netilah Bracha. You shouldn't be mafsik in between Mayim Achreinim and Birchas Hamazon. And then the Gemara applied it also, take care for the Netilah Bracha. You shouldn't be mafsik between Tilis Adayim Mayim Rishonim in Hamotzi. But the original memory, taken until the bracha, goes on Mayim Achreinim. So the Gemara here quotes a braisa, the Masnita Tana. There are two versions. Amra Yudah Marav, here two lines from the second lines from the bottom, the end of the Perek, Anun Gimel and Beis. Amra Yudah Marav, Amri Lobe Masnita Tana. Another version has it that it's a braisa. This Kadishna, the Yisim Kadoshim, why does it say twice? So they quote an Asmachta. V'yis kadishim eilam ayim rishen, v'yis in kadoshim eilam ayim achredim. Then you should wash the Rishonim say, it's only an asmach, because the whole institution of Tilis Adayim is only the Rabbanon. Yeah, what is it all about that you need mayim achredim? So the two different explanations are given. Our Gemara says, four lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yuzuhu Moi Oimer. Atana, or an Amora, the name of Rabbi Zuhamoy. We only have one memory from him. So they call him, they gave him a nickname, I'll shame the memory. Geshem Shem Zuham, Posel Avoida, Kachadam Zuham is Psulis Lebrocha. That's the Mishnah Pcheris. You have a whole parak. Tells you which moment passed by the Behemoth, by the Korbanis, which moment passed by Yodim. It's another parak. So it says that not only a Balmum is Posel Lehakrova, if the animal is a Balmum, if the Behemoth is a Mezuham. Old and filthy, and it looks disgusting, it doesn't look tempting. So that's, if you would give such a behemoth a matana to a governor, to a moshel, to a king, would he accept it? So how can you give such a behemoth as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a korban as a matana to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So there's a din hakaveh nolef echosech, so he says, just like a behemoth that's mezuham, is possible avodah in a kohen who's mezuam, an old kohen who's falling apart. He's not a balmum, and he's not a lefty. There's no psul on him, but he's a mezuam. He doesn't look healthy. He looks awful. So a mezuam is possible avodah both by the beim and by the adam. Kach idam zaham is psulus lebracha. So too, if a person has to say a bracha, idam zaham is he may not say a bracha. That only explains why the one. Let's say you bench mezumins. On the days of the Gemara, one person benches, and the other nine people just answer amen. They're not really saying the bracha. So the Rishonim say over here that only explains, quote from the Gemara, that only explains why the Mevarech has to wash Mayim Achreinim. Why did the Shomim have to wash Mayim Achreinim? They're not saying the bracha. So that's a different reason. That's what Tesis, the last Tesis in the Perek quotes. That's a different reason. That Melech Sodomus is very unhealthy. If you dip your fingers into Melech Sodomus, some kind of a salt from the area of Sodom Amora, and you rub it into your eyes, you can lose your eyesight. It's very sharp. So then everybody has to wash Mayim Achreinim if there's Melech Sodomus available. Tosis claims that in Europe where they lived, they had salt, but they didn't have Melech Sodomus. It's so far away from Eretz Israel. So Melech Sodomus was not available, so that concern didn't exist. There was no problem of Melech Sodomus. And even if there were a problem of Melech Sodomus, it doesn't necessarily require that you have to wash immediately before Birchas Hamazon. You can wash after Birchas Hamazon, the Rishonim say. But the Mevarech, the one is going to say the benching, or if there's no Mezuman, so everyone is going to bench on his own. So in order to say a bracha, but that's not only, let's say they serve... Let's say they're serving ice cream and the guy's fingers are all sticky because he got shirayim from the Rebbe in his hand. And his hands are all sticky. Or he had ice cream and the ice cream is all over his fingers and now he wants to say bar nefashis after eating the ice cream. So he can't say bar nefashis with sticky fingers. That's not only a din. Yadayim zoham psulus lebracha doesn't only go on birchas hamazon, it goes on saying bar nefashis after the ice cream also. What's the definition of mezuhama? So the question is, if the guy's wearing a Shabbos suit, will he touch the suit without rinsing his, he's wearing a white shirt. is going to touch the white shirt without rinsing his hands off beforehand. If he's going to wash his hands off, that means that the Adar Mamzer Hamas. If he'll touch the Shabbos the Kasut and he'll touch the shirt, so then Tosfos says they're not so makpid. They used to have greasy fingers and they used to touch their clothing and they used to touch books that they didn't have paper. I don't know, they didn't have our kind of paper. So that's by definition, that's not called Mamzer Hamas. Hamas only is if you would insist on washing your hands. Sometimes it's the same degree of stickiness, but sometimes it depends subjectively on the individual person. Anashim unogim, or ginam literally them, acharasuda, some people are mufunakim, they're very sensitive, so they're always going to wash their hands. They're going to wash their hands before they touch their shirt and before they touch their Shabbos dikasut. So for those people, they're not allowed to bench before they wash my machrein. That's Tosfos Shita. That my machrein was never really a takana with the rabbanon. You have to be concerned about the two issues, about the my melos adomus. So melos adomus is not available. You don't have to worry about that. Then you have to worry about the yadam zohamus absolus lebrach. Other rishonim disagreed. They hold that my machrein was a takana with the rabbanon. The motivation to make the takana was because yadayim mizahamis apsulos lebracha. But even if yadayim are not mizahamis, you have to wash mayim achrayim. So that's what Mishnah Brura is machna like that. But the Baal Yateis didn't wash mayim achrayim. They were not concerned about either of the issues. Then the Gemara says, Shemen is ma'akev is abrach. They used to wash my machrenim with water, and then they used to smear oil on the fingers. Oil is going to make the fingers sticky again, but they felt that's the way to make your fingers clean. It should smell good. So if you didn't, even if you washed my machrenim and you didn't put on shemen, so it's also you're not allowed to bench. So that the Gemara says it depends. Depends on the minigam dinam. If the minigam makam is that the people at the end of the meal, they clean off their fingers and they wash with water and then they wash with they smear with oil to remove the bad the funny smell from the food, so then it would be makif for benching. That's called yadayim mizahamis. Okay, we made a siyum on the perek. We learned the last Gemara, we learned about Havdalah till the end, but we didn't learn the beginning. So we'll go back to the beginning, the opening Mishnah on Nun Aleph on the base. The Mishnah has, Eilu Dvarim Shadei Meshamei Beis Hillel B'Seuda. Beshamei Yamim, there's a machlekes, when one recites Kiddush, which bracha should one recite first? We follow Beis Hillel, we say Baruch Pagofim first, and then we say Kiddush afterwards. And Bishamei Rav, the opinion that you say first Kiddush and then you say Bar Piagov. The Pashto says that if you hold like Bishamei and do like Beis Hillel, you hold like Beis Hillel, if you did the wrong way, b'di'evid yoytze. That's he's supposed to say Havdalah, we paskin, and Shulchan Aruch says we paskin, the Rosh HaTeva says Yavne, Yayin b'samim ner Havdalah. Let's say you say it out of water. So the Seder is not Miyake. This, the whole discussion of the Seder is all Hatchila. Where do you have dinim? Are there such dinim in Chumash when one is obligated to fulfill two mitzvahs? Do you have any dinim in the Chumash? What the order is, in what order you're supposed to fulfill a mitzvah? So we have Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk that you're supposed to put on the Shal Yad before you put on the Shal Rosh. That's a real din. That's a real din deraisa. Then in Shulchan Aruch, then in Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says a person should be careful when he puts his tefillin back in the tefillin zekel. They're different. Sometimes, yeah, I have a white tefillin zekel, so you can either take out. I have one tefillah next to the other. I have the shal yad next to the shal yad, so I can either take out the shal yad first or take out the shal rosh first. Other people have a different kind of a tefillin container, tefillin zekel, and you can only take out one at a time. So you should. So the Gemara says in Yuma, if you have such a container holding the tefillin, you should make sure that the shayad is on top. So you take out the shayad first. Because if the shal rosh is on top, you're going to take it out. You're not allowed to put on the shal rosh first. you'll have to be in violation of the din of Eim Aviran Ala Mitzvahs. There is a din of Eim Aviran Ala Mitzvahs. Let's say a person has two good pairs of tefillin, and he walks into shul. He knows he has two pairs, yes. He walks into shul, the first pair of tefillin he bumps into are his on the first desk. And then on the next desk, there's another pair of tefillin that belongs to him. They all belong to him. So the Gemara has a rule, the one that you bump into first, that's the one you should use. Eim Aviran Ala Mitzvahs. The Mishnah says, Menachas, that for the purpose of Minchas HaOmer, on Pesach that they brought from barley, and the Shtei Lechem and Shavuos that they brought from wheat, so they used to bring it from a farm that's right near Yerushalayim, on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Mar says, why? Because Eim Aviran Ala Mitzvahs. What are you going to do? The Bez Nagadol is in charge of everything in the Beis Hamikdash. They're going to send someone with a truck to harvest the grain. So when he's driving on the highway, he's going to pass by a barley field when he goes out of Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, there's nothing growing. As soon as he goes out of Yerushalayim, he's going to pass by a field. So he's not allowed to skip over that field, go to the next field. That's a din of Eim Aviran Ala Mitzvahs. If you can do the mitzvah with the object that you bumped into now, then you're not allowed to wait till do it later. If you waited to do it later, so be the other yotzei with the other one. But there's a seder. So the Gemara said you should be careful when you put the tefillin into the tefillin zekel, that the one that's going to come out first will be the shel yad, not the shel rosh, because if you take out the shel rosh first, you will have to violate this klal eim aviran ala mitzvahs, and you have to put on the shel yad. Before the Shal Rosh. What about the Seder that you put on the Talis first or the Tefillin first? So really, the rule really should have been, there's a Mishnah in Zvachim on Daf Pei Tes, that's the beginning of Perek Kolat Todir. So the Mishnah says we have two rules. One rule is Kolat Todir, Todir Shena Todir Todir Kodim. That's the way we say it. The Mishnah doesn't have that Losh. The Mishnah has Kolat Todir Machaber Kodim Lachaber. If you're interested in fulfilling two mitzvahs now, so the Gemara learns out from a pasuk in Chumash that this is a hidu mitzvah lechatchila. You should do first the todir and then do the eino todir. So the talis we wear 7 days a week. The tefillin we only wear 6 days a week. Shabbos and Yom Tov we don't wear tefillin. So really, you should put on the talis first. Todir b'shein and todir kodim. But on the other hand, the Mishnah has another klal, called a mekudish mechaber, kodim lachaber. It means mekudish, v'ein mekudish. I'm a kohen in the Beis Hamikdash, and somebody, one person, two people came simultaneously. One person has a shlamim. The shlamim is a kochim kalim. The other person has an oila, which is a kochikochim. So which one should I be makri first? Usually it's first come, first serve. Let's say they both came simultaneously. So which one, is there any rule? So the Mishnah says yes, that Mekudosh, Vein Mekudosh, Mekudosh Kodim, the Korban Oila, which is a Kachim Kachim, should be offered first before the Shlamim, which is a Kachim Kalim. If you have two mitzvahs, one has more Kedusha than the other. So let's say you have two mitzvahs, one has Kedusha, one has no Kedusha. The Talis has no Kedusha. Talis is called Tashmishe Mitzvah. The Tefillin is called Tashmishe Kedusha. So if it's already Tefillin and Mezuzah, it's called Tashmishe Kedusha. So if you have a choice of putting on the tefillin first or the talis first, so we have a conflict between the two klolim. On the one hand, there's a klal, tonim sheina tada tada kodim. So maybe that should lead us to believe we should put the talis on first. On the other hand, we have a klal, mekudosh vein mekudosh mekudosh kodim. So that should lead us to believe we should do the tefillin first. What do you do when there's a conflict between these two klolim? When you have tada versus mekudosh, so that's in the Bavli, that's in the Bai Doleiv Shita. And the Bavli, that's in the Bai Doleiv Shita. And the Yerushalmi, they made it into a Machlekes HaTanoim. The Yerushalmi presents it as if it's a Machlekes here, Bishama Bisilo. And the... Why? Because Kiddush is a Bracha Min HaTorah. Reciting Kiddush is a Mitzvah Min HaTorah. We had the Gemara in Daf Chof. The Gemara learned that from the Pasuk, Noshim HaChayav is B'Kiddush HaYom Dvar Torah. So that was a chiddush that women are mechuyev on chof on the base. That was a chiddush, despite the fact that kiddush is a mitzvah saseh shas matrama. Nonetheless, women are mechuyev. But included in the chiddush is that kiddush is daraisa. We would never have dreamt in a million years that that's the pshat. Zacharis hamashabes v'gatcha means you should recite kiddush. Zachor means lahazakir. We usually translate or mistranslate, remember the day of Sabbath to keep it holy. Zachor means to remember, so the Tanoim had a tradition that does mean that. Zachor means mention. Mention the Kedusha Sayyam of Shabbos. You should speak about the Kedusha Sayyam by reciting Kiddush. We enhance the mitzvah of Kiddush by reciting a lot of the Zmiris. A lot of the Zmiris, we repeat the theme. Speak about the Merucha V'Simcha or La'ihudim. We speak a lot about the uniqueness and special status of Shabbat. That's an enhancement of the mitzvah of Kiddush. But basically, the Zachos Yom Shabbos Kasha is the mitzvah of Kiddush. So the mitzvah to recite Kiddush, that's a bracha min ha'tor. And the burpi ha'gofen over the wine is only required midrabbanan, al pi pashto. So the brachas midrabbanan. We had the Pnei Yeshua wrote in the first daf in Ketz and Mevarchim, Lule de Mistafina, if he weren't afraid to disagree with all the Rishonim, he would have taken them all on, but he was afraid. So if he weren't afraid, he would have said that the Gemara says, Al Asvaruhu Asalad Shehadim Al Azad Beloi Bracha, and Asvar is a din deraisa. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says. But he says all the Rishonim say not so. So he gave in to the Rishonim. The Brichas Hanenin is only with the Rabban. It's not such a compelling Svara that it should be a chiyuv deraisa. Svara, if the Svara is very compelling, then you don't need any psukim. It has the status of a din deraisa. But this Svara is not so compelling. So we assume that Bar Piagofen is only the Rabbanan, and Kiddush is a bracha deraisa. So the Kiddush, in contrast to the Bar Piagofen, is one is Mekudish, one is Eina Mekudish. But the Kiddush is only once a week, and the Bar Piagofen is every day. You can drink wine every day. So whenever you're discussing which bracha you should say first, what should the order of the brachas be, should you say first Kiddush and then Bar Piagofen, you say first Bar Piagofen and then Kiddush? So that's really this Ibai the Life Sheet and the Babli. According to the Yishami, that's exactly the machlekes Bishami and Bishilo. Tada versus Mekudesh. Tada Bishani Tada dictates, they should say Bar Piagofen first. Mekudesh, when Mekudesh dictates, you should say the Kiddush first. But the Babli doesn't say like that. The Babli doesn't learn like that. Yishami goes on further to say that Rabbi Lezer is usually, when Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkan disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua, so his opinion is rarely accepted. The Gemara says, Rabbi Lezer Shamutehu. So Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Lezer Shamute. Rashi says they put Rabbi Lezer in Chayr and put him in Shamta. That's the Gemara at the end of Perek Azor. And Rashi in other places quotes the Yerushalmi and the Tosfos says, and Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. And the first Perek in Nida, Tosfos says, Rabbi Lezer Shamute doesn't mean they put him in Shamta, it means he was from the Beishamai Nikis. So that's why we rarely paskan like him, because we rarely paskan like Beishamai. So what is Rabbi Lezer? Which Rabbi Lezer is like Beishamai? So the Yishami says, in Mishnayis Nazir, there's a din, Kohen Gadol, Kohanim are not allowed to be Mitame L'meis. But a Kohen is permitted to be Mitame to the Zayin Kerovim or to a Meis Mitzvah. A Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are not even allowed to be mitami to relatives, but to a Meis Mitzvah they are permitted to be mitami. So the Mishnah in Nazir has a discussion. What if there's a Nazir and a Kohen, or a Kohen and a Kohen Gadol walking down the highway, and there's no one else in sight, and no one has a cell phone, and they bump into a Meis Mitzvah? And you don't need both of them to be mitami, you only need one of them. So which of the two should be mitami? The Kohen? They're both not allowed to be mitam in the meis, and they both have a heter to be mitam to a meis mitzvah. Either of them can be mitam. So whom would we recommend over here? So that's easy. That's a giveaway. The Kohen's prohibition to be mitam in the meis is not as chomer as the Kohen Gadol is, and not as chomer as the Nazir is. Because the Kohen is not only permitted to be mitam to the meis mitzvah, he's allowed to be mitam to the Zayin Kerovim. So if you have a Kohen and a Kohen Gadol walking down the highway, or a Nozer and a Kohen, so let the Kohen be Mitame. But what if you have a Nozer and a Kohen Gadol walking down the highway? Which of the two should be Mitame? So that's Machlekes and the Mishnayis and Nozer between Ablazer and Rabbi Yeshua. And Yerushalmi says Ablazer Shamutihu. Ablazer goes the Shitas Beishamai, that Beishamai hold when you have a conflict between Mekudesh and Eina Mekudesh, so Mekudesh and Tadir, Mekudesh and Tadir, Bar Piagofen is the Tadir Bracha, that you can recite every day of the week, and the Kiddush is only once a week. So that's exactly the Machlekes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So Reb Lezer holds like the Beis Shammai that you say Kiddush first, that the one is more mekudesh, is more important than the one who is more tadir. So which of the two is more mekudesh, the Kohen Gadol and the Nazir? So Reb Lezer says that the Nazir who becomes Nitma has to bring Karbanos afterwards. The Kohen Gadol becomes Nitma doesn't have to bring Karbanos. So you see that the Chashivas of the Isatuma of the Nazir is greater than that of the Isatuma of the Kohen Gadol. But on the other hand, the Nazir is only going to be a Nazir for 30 days. Tamzir Shloshim Yom. The Kohen Gadol is going to be for the rest of his life till he retires. So that's in a certain sense Tadir. So the Kohen Gadol has a Maila, a Chashivas, he's the Tadir, Maila. So therefore, let the Nazir be Metami. And the Nazir, who's not the Tadir, he's only going to be a Nazir for a short period of time, but he's the more Mekudesh, Baharaya, that if he becomes Nitma, even B'shoigeg, even Beheta, whatever, he has to bring Korbanos. So the Yishami says, that's the Machlekes of Lezer, L'shitasa, because here of Lezer, so in the Bishamai, that's Machlekes, what's the din of Tadir Mekudesh? Which one takes precedence? Yeah. So what about Talis and Tefillin? Should also be like that. It should be a Machlekes, let's see, if you think like the Yerushalmi, that Torah versus Mekudesh is Machlekes Bishilul and Bishamai, and we pass like Bishamai that Barpi Agafen comes first. In other words, that Todir, the Maila of Todir, is more important than the Maila of Mekudesh. So when it comes to the Talis and Tefillin, so we should say that you put on the Talis first, because Todir B'Shein the Todir. The Talis is 7 days a week. And even though the tefillin has more kedusha, but the tadir should come first, because tadir mekudesh, the tadir is kedim. That's according to the Yerushalmi. Okay, the Bavli does not agree. The Bavli doesn't say that that's the machlekes bisham and bisol. The Bavli leaves in an abayd leiv shita there in Zvachim, the first daf and peites and days, first daf and perikolat tadir. What do you do when there's a conflict between tadir versus mekudesh? Davneneza has a humorous tshuva. I think it's a little humorous. He says when a person dies, so we have a minig that we bury him wrapped in his talis that he wore during his lifetime. So many people have two different talis. We have a Shabbos Dika talis and a weekday talis. Weekday talis he wears 6 days a week. Shabbos Dika talis he only wears once a week. So he considers it an issue of Torah versus Mekudesh. Because the weekday talis he wears more often than the Shabbos Dika talis. But the Shabbos Dika talis is miyuchad for Shabbos, big day Shabbos.
And who is this Mekudesh and the people who are doing it? He's dead.
Yes.
So it doesn't apply to him. He has no
mitzvahs.
He has nothing.
Yes. The whole thing is questionable. Why the talis that you wear on Shabbos is more mekudesh than the talis you wear on the weekdays?
They're both not mekudesh.
It's a tashmish mitzvah.
Doesn't have a din of one of his, one of the din of tadir over the other one? It's the same mitzvah, the same heftah.
Yeah.
I can use it all week if I want to.
Very questionable. Is it Big Day Shabbos? You're not supposed to wear Big Day Shabbos b'chol. Is it Big Day Shabbos?
He's a Hasidish Rebbe.
Hmm?
He's a Hasidish Rebbe. It's okay.
So therefore what?
I'll be the Zohar. It's probably more special.
I don't know. Anyway, so he says that the Babli has an Abayit Leiv Shita, Torah versus Mekudesh. And the Rambam says, "How do you paskin? How do you paskin lochem?" So the Rambam writes, "Eizes shir it's a yagdim, the Torah verse mekudesh. You can do whichever you want." So he says, "Eizes shir it's a yagdim. You can bury the guy whichever talis you want." My father used to say that. My father Zechanah Lebracha used to say, "What's the whole idea of burying people with a talis? We want to be mechazik the amune and tchias ha-mason. We believe that the mason will come back to life." And the Gemara says they will be wearing the same godim that they wore at the time that we buried them, even though the clothing all disintegrated and it was eaten up by the ants. But everything, just like Tchias HaMeisim is a miracle, the person will come back to life, so the godim will also come back to be reinstated. So if you want him after Tchias HaMeisim to be wearing something nice, I'm just telling you, you would want to wear the nicer one. So you should bury him in the Big Day Shabbos? No. Should bury in the Big Day Shabbos. Doesn't mean if you have silver, a Torah, on the Shabbos day, you should bury the silver. I think that's ridiculous. But, okay, so that's a discussion, whether it has any shaykhs at all. Very questionable, whether it has any shaykhs at all to Torah Mekudesh. Okay. So in Shulchan Aruch, they give a different... Shulchan Aruch says you should wear the talis first. Every day when you put on talis and tefillin, you can either do A first or B first. So why did they decide you should put on the talis first? Because the tefillin have more kedusha. So one should have said, Faket, Shagas Ha'as, and one should have said, Mekudish, Vein, Mekudish, Mekudish, Kaidim. Says, no, because the tefillin have more kedusha. So it says, Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marid. What do you mean, Malam HaKodesh? You go up. So you should put on first the talis, then you put on the tefillin. So every case of Mekudish, Vein, and Mekudish, one should always say, Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marid. The Kohen is in the Beis HaMikdash, and two people come in simultaneously. He brings an oil, he brings a shlamim. So one should say, Malam HaKodesh, first bring the Shlamim and then bring the Oila after. You don't say it like that. You say, Mekudesh, Vei Mekudesh, Mekudesh Kodim. So when do you apply the rule of Malam HaKodesh? When do you apply the rule of Mekudesh, Vei Mekudesh? As Shagas Ari says, it doesn't make sense what it says in the Mechaber. Mechaber gave this psak. You should put on the tablets first. There's Malam HaKodesh. But that's what the Meforshim explained. It's different over here. When the person puts on the talis and the tefillin, that's going to have an effect on him. So since when he puts on the tefillin, he will attain a higher level of kedusha. Then you say Malam HaKodesh Lamarei. If he's a kohen based on Mikdash, then he's makri the korban oila that belongs to this person, the korban shlamim that belongs to that person. Nothing is going to be enhanced in him. It's just a question: which mitzvah should he perform first and which second? So then you say Mekudesh Vein Mekudesh Mekudesh Kodesh. He should do the more important mitzvah first. But over here, we're talking about the person wearing the talis and wearing the tefillin. And when he wears the tefillin, that will enhance his kedusha. So that's the consideration in Malam HaKodesh. So according to the Yerushalmi, the Machlokes, Bisham and Bisilil is Torah versus Mekudesh. The Babli doesn't hold like that. So according to the Babli, what is the issue? So the Gemara explains, Tana Rabbanan, right after the Mishnah. In connection with eating meals, they had a few disagreements. First, say Kiddush, then say Bar Piagov, and afterwards. Backwards. Why? He gives two reasons why. Bishami gives two reasons. Number one, Shayom Goran Yain Sheyavai. And number two, Kvar Kiddush Yayam Vadan Yain Laibo. So the second reason we understand is not so difficult to explain. He says, you became obligated to observe mitzvah A first and mitzvah B second. Let's say a baby wasn't healthy enough to perform the bris on the eighth day, so they had to postpone it, and the baby needs a pidyon haben. It turns out that the baby is healthy enough to have the bris on the 31st day. So which should you do first? Should you do the pidyon haben first, or should you do the bris first? So the bris you became obligated on the eighth day. The baby wasn't healthy, okay? So pikuach nefesh pushes it off. But since you became obligated to observe to fulfill the mitzvah bris milah first, you only became obligated to fulfill the mitzvah pidyon haben second. So you should go in chronological order. You should fulfill the mitzvah you were nischayev in first. So that's the second explanation that Beis Shammai said. Kvar kiddush hayoyim, when the person is sitting in shul and davening on Friday night and he's mekabel Shabbos, he becomes obligated to recite kiddush. You don't become obligated to recite bar piagov until you have the cup of wine in front of you. So since he became obligated to recite the bracha of Kiddush earlier than the obligation to recite the bracha of Bar Piagofen, so that's the way you should arrange the two in the same chronological order, the way he became obligated to observe them. The mitzvah, you became obligated in the first. So that's an interesting, first come, first serve. Okay, that's an interesting consideration. What's the other consideration that the Bishah may say? Shayom garm l'yayin sheyavo. The fella, if you have two mitzvahs, A and B, as far as I'm concerned, I can do first A, then B, I can do B, and then A. So what's the rule? Which one comes first? So they come up with a new rule. And this rule, Beis Shammai and Bisilil both agree that this is the rule. They just argue, which way does it apply? So Beis Shammai argue, Shahayom garen liyayin shayava. The fella is not really interested in drinking wine. Normally every night when he eats dinner, he doesn't drink wine. He drinks water, he drinks soda, whatever. He doesn't drink wine. The only time he drinks wine is on Shabbos because he wants to say Kiddush. So since it's the bracha of Kiddush is what doesn't enable him to drink the wine, but that's because he's obligated to recite Kiddush, so that's why he's obligated to say the bracha of Bar Piagov. So if you have two mitzvahs and one triggers the other, so the one, if you have a cause and an effect, so the cause usually should precede the effect. So the cause is the Kiddush. So that's why you should say the Kiddush first, because Hayam Garim, the Yom is the Kiddush. The Kiddush Hayam Garim the Yain Sheyavo. The whole reason why he's drinking wine tonight, Manishtana Friday night from every other night, that he doesn't drink wine with his supper, because on Friday night he wants to say Kiddush. So the only reason why he's saying the Baruch Piyah Gofen is because of the Kiddush. So those are the two explanations of Beis Shammai. Why do they need two explanations? Because we have that Gemara in Zvachim, the Gemara had a suffix. What if you have Torah versus Mekudesh? You have on the one hand Torah Sheni Torah, on the other hand you have Mekudesh Veni Mekudesh. So the Babli says Teku, and the Rambam says Ezeshir Tzayagdim. If you have two rules that contradict each other, so it's a even, so it's a tie, so it's a there, so whichever order you want to do it is fine. So here in our Gemara also, Beishamai are aware that Beisilol have an explanation. Beisilol, why? Shahayayin gorm l'kedusha shateyomer. Dover acher, bichas hayan tadir, bichas hayamein tadir, tadir b'shein tadir, tadir kadir. So Beisilol give also two explanations. If Beisilol would only give one rule, and Beis Shammai have two considerations, so just like Gemara says, if you have one rule that's in conflict with another rule, Torah Shana Torah is in conflict with Mekudesh and Mekudesh. So the Gemara says Teiku, and the Rambam says Shir to Yagdim. So here also the Gemara is going to say in another two lines, My Dover Acher, here, four lines from the bottom. Why did Beisilol have to give Dover Acher another explanation? Because v'chitei mahasim tartiv achachod, Beis Shammai have two considerations why Kiddush should come first, and Beisilol only have one consideration why the Baruch Piyah Gofen should come first. So if you have 2-1, and all the rules contradict each other, so just like it's one against one, so it's eizes shiyitzayakim. So it's two against one, so the two should win. So that's why the Beisilol had to come up with two explanations. And that's why the Beis Shammai also said we have two reasons, because they knew, Beis Shammai knew in the back of their minds that Beisilol are going to come up with this idea of Torah B'Sheinu Torah Torah Kodesh, because Baruch Piyah Gofen you can say 7 days a week, and Kiddush you only say once a week. So that should be the reason why the Baruch Piyah Gofen should come first. So that's why Beis Shammai had to say two explanations to counteract the one of Beisilol. And that's why Beisilol had to give two. If they're only going to give one, but you have the two considerations of Beis Shammai, so now it's two against two. And then, so Beis Shammai feel that their combination of two outweighs the two of Beisilol. And Beisilol holds that their combination of two considerations outweighs the two of the Beis Shammai. So the one of the two considerations is identical. If you have two mitzvahs, A and B, and one mitzvah triggers the other, so in the mitzvah that triggers the other, it's like a cause and an effect. So the cause should come first. The cause should precede the effect. So they both subscribe to that rule. But Beis Shammai says, Shayon Garn Layan Shayavu, the only reason why he's interested in drinking wine, 6 nights a week he doesn't drink wine with supper, only on Friday night, because he's going to say Kiddush. So the Kiddush is what's Mechayv in the Baruch Piyah Gofen. And Beisilol hold the reverse. Shahayayin Garm the Kedusha Shateyamah. The fellow already said Ma'ariv, I'll be Pashto. He already dab Ma'ariv. When you dab Ma'ariv, so the Gemara said, going back again on Daf Chof and Beis. So the Gemara said, we learn out from that pasuk, Zacharis Yom Shabbos Akacha, that there's a mitzvah to recite Kiddush. So the Gemara has an expression, Zachrehu al Hayayim. Zacharis Yom Shabbos Akacha, the Gemara has an expression. Do they have it here? No, in other Gemaras. Zachrehu al Hayayim. So there's a big machlekes in Tosfos in the beginning of Nazir, whether those two words, al hayayin, that's also Menat Torah, that you should recite the Kiddush and Avdolah over a cup of wine. So most of the, it was an opinion that Kiddush al hayayin is their eyes, and not Kash Kiddush bidvar. The drinking the wine, there was a girsa that the earlier Balei HaTosfos, the older Rishonim read the girsa in the Gemara in the beginning of Nazir. It does make sense that a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, but the Ayin of Kiddush and Avdolah he's allowed to drink. So Tosfos said that's impossible. It's not true. He's not allowed to drink Yayin of Kiddush and Avdolah. So one of the many arguments, Tosfos said, what are you talking about? All Allah Yayin is only by the Rabban. Only reciting Kiddush B'dvarim is their eyes. So that's the accepted opinion. That's the Ramam's opinion. Even though Tosfos says it's two opinions, that's the Magen Aram says that's the accepted opinion. So we assume that the fellow probably dubbed Ma'ariv already. So he daven Ma'ariv, so he was Yotzi Kiddush Deraisa in Ma'ariv. And then when he says the Kiddush Alayayin, that's only by the Rabbanon. So why is he saying again Kiddush? Everybody said Kiddush the first time. The answer is Shayayin Gorem le Kiddush Ayom Shete Yomer. That's what the Beis Hillel say. The Barp Yagofen should come first. Shahayayin Gorem le Kiddush Shete Yomer. They said the same as Beis Shammai. Whenever you have two mitzvahs, A and B, and one mitzvah triggers the other, so the mitzvah, the cause should precede the effect. But they argue which is the which direction is it? So whereas Beis Shammai say that the Kiddush comes first, because the Kiddush is the only reason why he's drinking wine 6 days a week. He doesn't drink wine by supper. So the Beis Hillel argue in the reverse. The only reason why he's saying Kiddush a second time is because he has wine. If he wouldn't have any wine, he would rely on the Kiddush that he said in the Shemana Esrei. He wouldn't say Kiddush a second time. Only time you say Kiddush a second time is if you have Alei Yain, or if you have Pas, okay? Gotta have either pas or yain. So the one klal is the same, bisham and bisil. Whenever A is gorim to B, so then the gorim should precede the gosh, the cause should precede the effect. And then the machlekes is about the other klal. So then it turns out you have two against two. Here there's a famous piece from the Tzlach, that if Yehuda asks the question, why doesn't somebody raise the issue over here that it should be Mekudesh Ve'ene Mekudesh, what the Yerushalmi said. Why doesn't a Babli raise that issue, that Kiddush is a Bracha Derais and Bar Pyagofen is only the Rabbanan? So why doesn't somebody say that the reason for the Shammai, that Kiddush comes first, is because Kiddush is Derais?
Is Kiddush Derais, maybe they didn't show?
So that's what he answers, that normally everybody daven Ma'ariv and Shul, so yes, Kiddush Derais B'Tfilo, Kiddush B'Dvarim. So the Kiddush Alakos is only with the Rabbanim, because that's already
Kiddush
the second. Kiddush Mokum Suda, right. That's only with the Rabbanim. And I told you a Yotzeh with the first Kiddush.
If the wife didn't hear it, didn't
daven Ma'ariv,
then for her it's the
Raisa. For her it's the Raisa, right. Okay, so the Tzlach says, Aloy Plug Rabbanim. Since most of the time the people daven Ma'ariv already, and the Kiddush Alayayin is only the Rabbanim, so even if the wife didn't daven Ma'ariv, even if for some reason or another the husband didn't have marriage, whatever, so you say that's how they made the takan. They don't consider the bracha of the Kiddush as a bracha deraisa, because under normal circumstances you should already have fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush deraisa b'tefillah. So this is really questionable. Is that really true that everybody was yotzei Kiddush b'tefillah, and when you say the Kiddush at home it's only midirabbanan? So they quote from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that is not from the Vilna Gaon, they were not happy with the reciting of Tzum Shelo Achalnu. Why? Because every stanza in the Piyut corresponds to the four brachas in the Birchas Hamazon and Menat Torah. There's no specific nusach, there's no specific text that you have to have for the Birchas Hamazon. So Yeretzeh Birchas Hamazon Deraisa, by saying Tzur Mishaloi Chalnu, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Chachamim didn't want us to do that. They wanted us to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of Birchas Hamazon by using their nusach. Not that we should say our own nusach and then make the Chachamim happy by saying Birchas Hamazon later a second time. No, you should be yotzei Birchas Hamazon deraisa by using the nusach of the Chachamim. And he holds that the same is true regarding Kiddush. Even though everybody says Kiddush B'dvarim in the Shemana Esrei, but the Chachamim wanted everyone to be Yotzei Kiddush Alakos. Everybody who davens really is, even though people are not thinking one way or the other, but everybody wants to follow, Orthodox Jews want to follow what the rabbis tell them. So they may not know what the rabbis wanted, but this is what the rabbis want, that we should be Yotzei Kiddush Deraisa over a cup of wine. So everyone who davens Ma'ariv, it's implicit, as if they're not even thinking, it's implicit that they want Kavanah Shalolotz, is they're having in mind not to be Yotzei Kiddush Deraisa B'Tfilah, in order to be Yotzei the Kiddush Deraisa Alakos. The same is true for Kiddush as is true for the Birchas Hamazon. The Chachamim didn't say, after fulfilling the Kiddush Deraisa B'Tfilah, we want you now to make us happy and say Kiddush Alakos with our Nusach. No, they want you to fulfill the mitzvah Deraisa of Kiddush alayayin. They want you to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa birchas hamazon in their nusach, not in your own nusach. Chazam Sefer also says like that. Chazam Sefer uses a loshen from the Gemara in the end of Ksubas. The Gemara has a loshen lei bez nemasna lein. Sometimes it said in Shulchan Aruch when you build the shul. So the rabbanim who are involved in the construction of the shul are supposed to have in mind when they're building it that they reserve the right, all the shuls in Chutz La'aretz don't have the same level of serious kedusha as a shul in Eretz Yisrael. So the rabbanim are supposed to have in mind, leit bez and masna, that if need be, you can use the shul for secular purposes. What if the bezin wasn't, what if there were no rabbanim thinking at all at the time they constructed the shul? So the Mishnah Berurah says, in the name of the earlier Pesukim, we say, Lei bezin masna lein. It's considered as if everybody has a mind to follow the recommendations of the Chachamim. So it's considered as if we had it in mind. Even though no one was thinking one with the other, we had blank in mind. We weren't thinking of anything. But the same over here, no one was thinking. Chassam Sefer writes, no one was thinking at all when they davened married. They were davening married. They were saying Shemana Esed. They weren't thinking about fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush. But it's considered as if late bezin masna lein, because Orthodox Jews want to follow what the rabbis recommend. They don't want to do things on their own. Rabbis recommend that you should be yotzei kiddush deraisa ala kos. So it's as if everybody had in mind when they daven Shemana Esrei kavana shelo lotzis, as if they had in mind that they don't want to be yotzei. So that's why we really don't accept what the tzlach said. The tzlach said that over here, the kiddush is not going to be deraisa. The kiddush is going to be the rabbanon because most of the people already got married. And we yotzei kiddush deraisa. We really don't assume like that. We assume like the Chassam Sofer, like the Rav Chaim Volozhin, that you yotzei the kiddush deraisa al hakos.
Yeah, but here, when I'm davening, I'm trying to do kaddish Shabbos in the shul. I'm praising Shabbos, and that's kiddush. I just don't want to be yotzei the mitzvah kiddush, but that is the mitzvah kiddush. Doing kaddish Shabbos, and I'm doing it anyway. So why should it help that I don't want to be yotzei the mitzvah kiddush? I'm doing what the mitzvah kiddush is.
I don't know, the same thing as Miris. What do you mean? You have a mind not to be Yotze, but you're saying you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He gave us food and He gave us Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Birch Zamazan is all about. You praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you have a mind to sing this Miris? No, you're just singing a tune. What do you mean? You're saying the words. The words mean you're thanking the Rebbe Shalom for giving you food, for giving you Eretz Yisrael, for giving you Yerushalayim, for giving us the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know what it means. That's the... It's a strong kasha. I think it's a strong kasha. Anyway, that's a famous tzlach. The tzlach thinks that that everybody daven ma'ariv, so the kiddush al hakos is only the rabbanon. Rav Chaim Volozhin holds not so, and the Chassam Sofer holds not so. They hold that it's considered as if everybody when they daven ma'ariv had in mind not to be here. It's the kiddush, and the kiddush al hakos is going to be with deraisa.
Is this why there's some people that first have their Suda and then go back to Shul and Daven Ma'ariv? Is that because of this? There's some people that are knowing on Shabbos to go home after Mincha and Kabbalah Shabbos and have a Suda and then afterwards to go
Daven Ma'ariv. All year long, or just in the summertime, you mean? Summertime, a lot of people feel uncomfortable davening Ma'ariv early because all year long we don't daven Ma'ariv before the Shkiv. We don't daven after the Plagan Mincha. So the Magen Avraham writes that that's acceptable. You can daven mincha, you have an early minyan and a late minyan. So I'll daven mincha by the early minyan. I say Kabbalah Shabbos, and when they say Baruch, I'll go home. I don't want to daven ma'ariv. I'll make kiddush, I'll eat. Then I'll come back to shul for the second minyan, and I'll daven ma'ariv at the second minyan. So the Magen Avraham writes that that's acceptable. And the Vilna Gaon is quoted as disagreeing. And they say for Maisa Rav, the Vilna Gaon disagrees. Because the Gemara in Daf Chav Zayin had a lashon. Rav Tzavi Shal Shabbos Be'er Shabbos. Rav Davin Ma'ariv early. He used to Davin Ma'ariv on Friday evening after Plaga Mincha when the sun was still shining. So then the Gemara has a shaila. Would he recite Kiddush also during this man of Tosefes Shabbos, or would he wait to recite Kiddush till Laila Mamash? The Gemara says no. He Davin Ma'ariv early and he would say Kiddush also. If he says Kiddush also means that he started the meal. Maybe he didn't finish the meal, but at least he started the meal. So the Vilna Gaon was Medayik and the Lashon HaGemara. First you have to have Rav Tzolei Shal Shabbos Be'er Shabbos, you daven Ma'ariv. And then, if you daven Ma'ariv, then you can say Kiddush. But if you didn't daven Ma'ariv, you're going to daven Ma'ariv at the late minyan, at the second minyan and you adjust Mekabel Shabbos, then you're going to say Kiddush and eat the meal, so you can't do that. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. From the Lashon HaGemara, thought, you see, not like the Magen Avraham. Why? What's wrong? Or why such an assistance? Rav Soloveitchik can explain, because the Gemara has a machlokes of Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, what's the correct way to observe Yom Tov. Kos Becheroimer, the Gemara in Pesachim, I think, Dab Samaches. One Pasuk says, Gemara in Beit also, the Pasuk describes Shavuos differently. One Pasuk describes it, Atzeres Hashem Avakecha, a day dedicated to holy activities all day long, learning and davening. One Pasuk describes Atzeres Tiyalachem, a day that you eat and drink and you make merry, that you enjoy yourself. So which is it? Is it Atzeres Tiyalachem, Atzeres Hashem Avakecha? So we usually have one of the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes by Mishnei Ksuba Ma'akhishim Zezeh, what if you have Shnei Ksumam Krishim and Zezer? There is no Kosva Shlish. So then what do you do? So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim. So Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion you have to choose either A or B. Either you have very elaborate meals on Yom Tov, or you have very brief meals and you have the davening is very long and you sit and learn the whole day. You can either choose A or B because there's a conflict between the psukim, so it means that it's a choice. Each person has a choice, either lachem or lashem. And we paskan like Rabbi Yeshua, that even though there is no kosev ashlishi she'achri banem, we figure out on our own, chalkeyu, we divide in half, chetzi lashem and chetzi lachem. So then the Gemara says that that's only on Yom Tov that there's a machlokes. On Pesach and on Sukkot, on Shavuos, all the Tanaim agree that you have to have elaborate meals. And then the Gemara says on Shabbos, all the Tanaim agree you have to have elaborate meals because of Onik. So again, the simple reading of the Gemara is that on Yom Tov there is no mitzvah of kibud v'yonik. That's the Poshib Shat in the Gemara. Beis Alevi points out. The Rambam writes that the mitzvah of kibud v'yonik in the Kabbalah to the Novi Yishai carries over from Shabbos to Yom Tov. And Beis Alevi says that that the Gemara in two places seems to say that there is not so. The Gemara says Shabbos Kovas, when you eat tevel achilas aroi before meruach, so it's permissible. But whatever you eat on Shabbos is always called achilas kev. Shabbos is called achilas kev. So the Gemara said the Yom Tov is not kevet, only Shabbos. Why Shabbos Kovas? Why Shabbos called achilas kev? Because Karas of the Shabbos onik. Because of the mitzvah of onik Shabbos. More would appear there is no mitzvah of onik on Yom Tov. So that's a parenthetic issue. That's a problem. And the Rambam somehow won out against the Gemara. Everybody assumes like the Rambam, that there's a din of kibud v'yonik both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. The Gemara is beferish not so. But when the Rambam quotes the din, both in Hilchas Shabbos and in Hilchas Yom Tov, he says, Chalkeu chetzel Hashem v'chetzel Hachem. So the Rambam writes, Elekachu hadas, this is the way you have to do. You daven ma'ariv, and then you eat the first meal. Then he said, you daven shachris and musaf, then you eat the second meal. Then you daven mincha, then you eat chalashudas. It has to be lashem lachem, lashem lachem, and lashem lachem. That Rambam is mashmi, he's supposed to have shalashudas after mincha. Supposed to be chetzi lashem, and then chetzi lachem. Leil Shabbos, and then in the morning, then in the afternoon. Each of the three units of the day of Shabbos should be Chalkei, the first Lashem, and then Lachem. So that's what the Vilna Gaon, that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. A diuk in the Lashon HaGemara, Rav Tzodesh Lo Shabbos Be'er Shabbos, and we only allow you to say Kiddush and to begin eating. If you're ready, Dav Mar, what's the explanation? Why? So he thought the explanation for that Hanhoga of the Vilna Gaon, that he rejected the Magen Avraham, was based on that Rambam, that the Rambam says, Hasbei Chalkei, Chetzel Lashem, Chetzel Lachem, and Keseder Hazeh. He Dav Mar, then you eat. So if you're going to eat before Marav, you're ready for Mishana, the Seder. That's like eating that many people do eat Shalashudas before Mincha. But so those people who follow the Magen Avraham, they say, it doesn't matter what order you do, Chetzel Lachem, Chetzel Hashem. But the Vilna Gaon feels that the Rambam is more meduyik. The Rambam is very meduyik, has to be Davka in that order.
If a person misses the middle of Friday night, can he have three on Shabbos?
Yeah, that's what we assume.
So when are those three? Oh, it's all. He davened twice, and then he's eating twice.
Okay.
He davened Marav and Shacharis, then he's eating two meals. And
okay.
That's also possible.
I don't think you should eat in between Shacharis and Musa. The Gemara says Because machlokes in the Gemara, you're allowed to nibble anything before musaf. So we paskin, you're permitted to nibble. You got to say kiddush, you're permitted to nibble, but you're not allowed to have a real full blown suda. So we wouldn't recommend the one who forgot to eat on Leil Shabbos. He was sick. He didn't feel well. So you can't recommend you should daven shachris, have a meal, daven musaf, have a meal, daven mincha, have a meal. We don't allow you to eat a full blown meal before you daven musaf. Stami daven shachris and musaf. Then he has two meals, one, and then he waits a couple of hours. He has another meal. Then the third meal is after mincha. Yeah. So that's a famous tzlach, yeah. We mentioned that Rav Soloveitchik gave a mashal. Let's say a person will use tray for wine. He has tevel wine. He'll say kiddush over tevel wine. Then before he's about to drink the wine, so then it'll be mafshit trumas and maistras. So would he be yotzei the mitzvah of kiddush al hayayin? He said the kiddush over non-kosher wine. At the time that he recited the kiddush, the wine was still tevel. So Rav Soloveitchik thought he wouldn't be yotze. So the Gemara says, "Osan lehanis menala mazeh b'lay bracha." All the wine in the world is treif until you recite the Birchas Hanenin. And the Yerushalmi has an expression. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of quoting that expression: "Bechoso zuhi pidyona." Whoever eats Koranenin menala mazeh b'lay bracha is kilo mo'al. It's considered as if he had violated meila behegdish, because Hashem haaretz m'loya. Everything belongs to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a violation of Me'ila Behegdish, Geri Hanor. And then when is one permitted to be Nenem in a Hegdish if he's Pater the Hegdish? The Rishami has an expression that Bechosa Zui Pidyonim. When you recite the bracha over the food that you're interested in eating, that's considered like the Pidyon, that's Motziat Lechulim. So Kozman, you didn't say a bracha, so it's Hegdish and their wine is treif. So we should say like Beis Hillel for that reason. You got to say Barap Yagofen first. Kozman, you didn't say Barap Yagofen, the wine is treif. So how can it be Yotze Kiddush over a tray for wine?
That's the tevel. Wine is tray for the tevel, but here there's nothing wrong with the wine. He's not allowed to do it. It's the gavra.
So that's the question. Is it so? Is it so? I mean, there's a mitzvah to recite the Birchas Hanenin, but it's not that the wine is tray, right? That's a big machlekes of Rishonim. So the Ruba of the Rishonim hold like that. The Gemara says, "Asa lahanis ben olam azeh b'lay bracha." It's also because you'll be mevatel; you won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah, the rabbanon, of reciting a bracha. But it's not; it didn't start off as an iser. "Asa lahanis ben olam azeh b'lay bracha" means you didn't fulfill the mitzvah that they required of you to recite a Birchas Hanenin. But it's not that it, they said it's treif for one. Afkamin is oinin. If someone misha meisim mutal lefan of a relative passed away. So up until the Gvura, the surviving relatives are not permitted to observe mitzvahs, but they're not permitted to violate Averis either. They can't eat treif for food, but when they're not allowed to do any mitzvahs. So the question is, the big machlokes is, did they recite a bracha when they eat food? They're allowed to eat food. Let's say the funeral is going to be many, many hours later. The guy's hungry. The einan is starving. He wants to eat. So the accepted psak in Shulchan Aruch is that he does not say a bracha. There's a minority opinion. The Kolba, one of the Rishonim, says he has to say a bracha because they're not allowed to violate it out there. And also lehanis ben olam azeh b'lay bracha. But the generally accepted opinion, Ruba the Ruba of the Rishonim, hold not. So they hold that it starts off as a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to recite a bracha, and the oinim is not allowed to fulfill any mitzvah. So that's why he's not allowed to say a bracha. So that from the fact that the oinim is not allowed to say brachas, birchas hanenin also. Is a pretty clear-cut indication that we assume that the Iser, Asa Lahanis Ben Olam Azeh B'lay Bracha, doesn't really start off as an Iser. Tevel is taka treif, but over here you don't say all food in the world is treif until you say bracha. It's not treif. There's a mitzvah in the Rabbanu to recite a bracha, and if you didn't say the bracha before, you were nana with lay bracha, so the Gavra did wrong. He failed to fulfill the mitzvah of reciting a bracha. But you don't say that the food is not kosher, the food is kosher. Rav Soloveitchik liked this svara so much, his svara, that the wine is treif for wine, so he somehow pushed it into the Gemara. He thought that that's one of the two explanations that the Gemara gave for the Beis Hillel. I don't see either of them saying that. Mevarach al hayayin, why? Shayayin gorm the kedusha shetayomer. That's the same as Beis Hillel. Shayayin gorm the yayin sheyavah. They both say with the mitzvah, the mitzvah A triggers mitzvah B, so the one that triggers the other one should come first. and they argue which triggers which. So whereas Beis Shammai holds that the reciting of the Kiddush is what triggers my interest in drinking wine, because all week long I don't drink wine. So the Kiddush is Gorm the Yain Sheyavai Ala Shulchan. So the Beis Hillel hold the reverse, that he wouldn't say a second Kiddush if not for the fact that he has the Yain Apas. So the Yain is Gorm the Kiddush at the Yom. Yeah. Very interesting Gemara. So Gemara quotes this Braisa, that Beis Shammai had two considerations, Beis Hillel had two considerations, and Beis Shammai felt that their two considerations outweighed the two of the Beis Hillel. Okay, Beis Hillel held out their two can outweigh. Tosis here discusses a little bit Nun Beis Amin Aleph, the top Tosis discusses in the Gemara Mishnah. You have a lot of times arguments between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. So the Gemara said, Beis Shammai were in the majority. Beis Hillel were in the majority. And we pass like Beis Hillel because of the Pasuk in Shmos and Parshas Mishpatim, Acharav Lahatas, yeah. So, and what did Beis Shammai hold? So in addition to all of the other disagreements that they had, Beis Shammai had another disagreement with the Beis Hillel, whether you apply Acharav Lahatas, if you have a situation where the Rov of the Chachamim hold, clearly the Rov of the Chachamim hold one way, but the niyu to disagree are sharper. So the Gemara says in Yevamos, the end of the first parak, that Beis Shammai were mechadidi tvei. They were sharper, that minds were sharper than Beis Hillel, but the Beis Hillel were in the majority. So that's what the Menchas Chinuch points out, Poshe Pshat the Gemara, in addition to all the other arguments that the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel had. They had another machlekes. What's the din in such a situation? If you have acharav and lahatos, the rabbim, the rov of the chacham, clearly the majority of the rabbanim say the halacha is in one direction, and the minority who disagree, am echadei tvei, they're sharper. So does the din acharav lahatos still apply, or do we say no, the echadei tvei wins? So that was an additional machlekes Beis Shammai. Because when a balabas would come to the Beis Shammai, call up the hotline and ask him a shaila, they would give the psak. Why did they give the psak? The Talmid Beis Shammai, the Gemara has a question at the end of the first parak in Yevamos. But also Beis Shammai kidivrei, malo also Beis Shammai kidivrei. Over all the years, there were so many disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so the din is acharav lahatos. He followed the majority. So what about the Talmid of Beis Shammai? Did they follow Beis Hillel also? Were they obligated to follow the majority? He said no. The basic rule is that every person who has a Rebbe should follow his Rebbe muvak. Usually the rabbi in the shul, the rabbi, the maradas is the rabbi muvak, usually. Unless it's clear that it's not so. So that's usually the rule. The rule is everyone should follow the psak of his rebbe. How do you know that? That's the rule. The pashtus is, the chumash says, ki polim imcha do la mishpat bein dam na dam bein din bein negra na dibei rivis pisharecha. The come to be alisalam. Welcome whenever there's a machlokes that's ripping the community apart, because these rabbanim say one way, the other rabbanim say the other way. So yes, the does not go. Whatever they say is binding. Why is that binding? Whatever they say is binding. So the Gemara seems to assume is lav davke bez nagol. Even after the bez nagol was exiled 40 years before the Churban Habayis, still the psokim of the Gedolei Hador were binding throughout all the generations, because we assume, Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Tosafos and Brachos, that Gedolei Hador have the status of Rabbi Muvak. We go into Gemara in the beginning of Perek Ein Omdim, I think. The Gemara says that Chana brought her son Shmuel to Eli, to Mishkan Shiloh. It says, Vayishchot Asanar, Vayishchot Asapor, Vayaviru Asanar Eleli. So the Gemara says, what was the connection? On the Aflamed Aleph on the base. Why Vayishchot Asapor, Vayaviru Asanar Eleli? So the Gemara says, because Eli thought that the din requires, he needed a coin to do the Shechita. And this little kid, the 2-year-old child, Shmuel Hanavi, right at the age of 2, he knew what Daf Chumash to say, that Shechita Ksheira Bizar. So Eli said that Shmuel is Chaim Misi B'dei Shemaim, because Mara halacha bifnei rabbi. So Tosfos says, how was he mara halacha bifnei rabbi? He never met Eli before, never learned by him. How was he rabbi? So Tosfos says, and that's called in Yeridah, that the Gedolei Hador have the status of Rabbi Muvok of all of the people, to all the people who live in that generation. Just like the rabbi in the shul has the din of Rabbi Muvok of all the balabatim who daven in the shul, even if they didn't learn by the rabbi. The Mardasra is considered like the Rabbi Muvok of all of the people. So when the Torah says the psokim of the Bez Nagodol are binding, it's because Bez Nagodol wasn't a political, they weren't chosen based on political consideration. Bez Nagodol, they picked the people who are really the Gedolei Hador. So the Gedolei Hador have the status of Rabbi Muvok, all the people who are alive in that generation. So that's why their psokim are binding. The Pasuk says, V'kamta b'lein salamokim alamash amokim gerim, that's in order to be chayv misa. If you're paskin against the Bez Nagodol, that's only if the Bez Nagodol issued the psak when they were still located in the Lishkas Hagosis. But you don't need Mokum Gorim. That's a tshuva in the Maram Shik. You don't need Mokum Gorim in order that the psak of the Bez Nagodol should be binding. The psak of Rabbi Muvik is binding, and the Gedolei Hador in every generation have the status of Rabbi Muvik. So the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Yevamos raises the question, did the Talmidei Shammai, after they realized that they were outvoted, so did they follow Bisilim or not? Also Bishami Kedirem, Aloy also Bishami Kedirem. Did they follow the Psak of their Rebbe? And Gemara comes to the conclusion, absolutely, also Bishami Kedirem. They were Talmidim of Shammai, and they followed their Rebbe Muvok. They had the right to follow. And Bisilim had to follow the Shittas of Hillel, of their Rebbe. But the question is the rest of Klal Yisrael, as far as everybody else is concerned. So people would come to the Bishama and ask, what's the din? They would say the din is, and they would say their shita. How do they have the right to issue their psak to the public if the public are not Talmidim of Bishama? So that's because they held that Mechadid Tvei beats out Acharam Lahatas. But we don't accept that. We hold that Acharam Lahatas takes precedence over Mechadid Tvei also. Rav Soloveitchik got it. He thinks it's only if in the same league. His expression was, if the whole RCA will say one way, my grandfather Rav Chaim will say the other way, I would not paskin like the RCA. Because Rav Chaim is in a different league. The Shach and Chashim Mishpah talks about that. Let's say there's a split vote and a bezin. It's 2-1. But the one is, he can put in his pinky, the two Rabbanim together. He knows much more than the other two. Do you still say Acharam Lahat is there? Highly questionable. Highly questionable. Anyway, so again, in addition to all the other disputes, Bisham and Bisil, there was another dispute where the Mechadid Tvei plays a role with respect to this din Acharam Lahat. And we paskin, no. We paskin the din is like Bisil. But the Bisham should follow their Shita. The Bishamai, also Bishamai Kedivrayim, even though they were outvoted. But that's the Ikar Din. Everyone should follow Rabbi Muvok. But the rest of the Klal Yisrael, who are neither Talmidim of Bishamai, nor Talmidim of Beis Hillel, so they should follow Acharam Lahatas. They should follow the majority Psak.
Bishamai Paskin for the
other people. Bishamai Paskin, because they felt the Mechadid Tvei takes precedence, but that has not been accepted. We don't accept Bishamai. Yeah. We accept Beis Shammai, Talmidei Beis Shammai should follow their Rebbe Shita. And we had to deal with the Kim Chaim. They didn't make a mistake. Their Shitas were always gehalten, they were consistent. So the Talmidim of Beis Shammai should follow Beis Shammai Shita. But for the Hamoy Nam, you should follow Acharam Lahatas, even though Beis Shammai was Mechadid Tvei. Then there's another issue over here. The Braisa says, V'halocha k'divrei Beis Hillel. On the bottom two lines. The Gemara says, Pshita, the Anapka Baskol, of course, the Gemara says that Baskol came out from heaven and said that we paskin like the Beis Hillel. So what is the Chiddush of the Braisa that you should paskin like Beis Hillel? As far as saying the Kiddush, Baruch Yagofen first, and then the Kiddush afterwards. But even if he said it out of order, he would be Yotz. But the whole Machlek says, L'chatchila, what's the correct order? You wouldn't say, let's say a person said Kiddush, and then he says Baruch Yagofen. You would tell him to say Kiddush again a second time because he said that out of order. No. You don't do like that. Someone remember how to shout, he forgot to say Vaychulu. So he said Bar Piagofen, and then he said Kiddush, and then he realized he didn't say Vaychulu. So he said Vaychulu later. Reciting Vaychulu is not part of the Kiddush. You can be Yotze the Kiddush. That's why they're not talking about it over here. They're just talking about two brachas and the Kiddush, the Bar Piagofen and the Kiddush. every Friday night. By chulo, you already said nishul. So he didn't say nishul. It's not part of the kiddush. If you forgot to say by chulo, you say it after hamotzi. Then say it later. You don't say it then. Some people think that it's so crucial, so they said bar piagof and they forgot by chulo. Say by chulo there. That's a hefsek. It doesn't belong over there. So again, so the Gemara here has a bit of a discussion of the story. To what extent is mashgichan or mashgichan mibaskol? How much reliance do we place on a baskol that comes out from heaven? They're sending us a message that the din, they tell us the din is like Beis Hillel. Or there, by the story in Bava Metzia, by the story of Tana Shalachnai, so the heavens sent a message that we shouldn't disagree with Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. We always paskin halachic Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. So here we say the din is like Beis Hillel, because pshita the anafka baskal, we follow the baskal that the din is like Beis Hillel. And there we say Rabbi Shua says Rabbi Eliezer gave all of his opinions, Rabbi Shua disagreed, and the majority agreed with Rabbi Shua. And then a baskal came out from heaven and said, how do you disagree with Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus? Halacha gemasa b'chol mokem, said Rabbi Yeshua, says, ey mashgicha mebaskal, we're not going to listen to the baskal. So Tosfos says, isn't that a contradiction? The whole reason why we paskal like the Beis Hillel, because of the baskal. So you see that we do listen to the baskal. So if you listen to the baskal, you should always paskal like Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus against Rabbi Yeshua. That's the kasha that the top Tosfos says. Im kein, if you hold like Rabbi Shua, mashgichem mibaskol, and that's why you have a right to disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. So we should disagree. We should follow Beis Shammai. Why do we follow the baskol by the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So Tosfos suggests maybe that it's not identical. The two cases are not identical. Ei mashgicha mibaskol, the Gemara says, is because lo b'shamayim hi. Lo b'shamayim hi is if the Bezon Shalmata worked out, figured out what the din is, and then from heaven they're going to tell us not so. So then we don't listen to that. Taisa says v'yishlaima, and the third line from the top, and the top Taisa is on one base. Yishlaima the dafka hasam by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua dafka hasam kama emashgichem bebaskol da baskol hoye kenegan harayif. The majority of the chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer. He was a minority opinion. So that even though Rabbi Eliezer asked the heavens to testify on his behalf, and the heavens sent out a message, we always pass him like Rabbi Eliezer, but that's against the psak. The psak was like the majority. Acharat melahatas. So there we don't listen to a baskal. But let's say the Rabbanim don't know what the din is, and they're wondering what the din, all of a sudden a baskal came out from heaven. Did they have to still continue breaking the heads and working on the topic, or can they just say, let's listen to the baskal? So Tesla says, whenever the baskal doesn't contradict a din, then you do listen to a baskal. You do listen to a baskal. Lo b'shamayim only means if what the psak of shamayim contradicts the psak of the Bezon Shalmata, then we don't listen to it. But if the Bezon Shalmata didn't make up their minds what the din is, and then they hear a message from the heavens, a Novi gives a message, then they would say we would accept it. The Rambam writes the Farish against that thesis. The Rambam says if a man comes and he demonstrates that he's a Novi, and then he says, I was told b'nevuah the din is, and the shaila that you have at hand, I was told b'nevuah the din is like this. So the Rambam says, you put him to death, b'yadua that he's a novi asheka. The men ha-shamayim, they don't give any nevuahs on any din. Lo b'shamayim, he period. So the Achranim point out that Rambam is in disagreement with the Tosis. Tosis seems to assume that Davka Hasim, hey, mashgichem b'baskol, is only if the baskol contradicts the halacha. The baskal by Beis Hillel didn't really contradict the halacha. The baskal by Beis Hillel was taking a stand on a machlokes. There was a machlokes in addition to all the other disputes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. There was another argument that Beis Hillel felt that Acharam Lahatas takes precedence over Mechadah Ditvei, And Beis Shammai felt, no, Echad HaNitveh is in a different league, and the rule of Acharav La'atas doesn't apply. So that was a machlokes, that was a real shaila. So the Baskel took a stand that Acharav La'atas takes precedence over Echad HaNitveh.
Why is it any different than taking a stand with the Rishu against the Rishu?
Why?
Why is it any different than taking a stand with machlokes the Rishu against the Rishu?
Shor Belezer, they were both Mechardi, approximately the same. Generally speaking, the Beis Hillel were Mechardi Tveif and the Beis Shammai. But these two people, Belezer and Shor, they're approximately on the same level. Maybe Belezer was even sharper than him. But it wasn't so much Mechardi Tveif,
I mean,
like
why is the Baskel able to be covered at the Machlokas between Mechardi Tveif and Acharav Mahatos, but it's not able to be covered at the Machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Belezer? Tanush Alachnai.
Because by Tanu Shalach Noi, there was a machloikis Yochid ve'Rabim. He was alone. So Yochid ve'Rabim, Alocha ge'Rabim.
Did he hold Mechad HaDitveh over there also?
There wasn't a Mechad HaDitveh. It was only Rabbi Lezer, and there were many Mechad HaDis in Rabbi Yeshua's camp. He was alone. It was against Yochid ve'Rabim. So the Baskel that's against Alocha, that we're not going to listen to. But if the Baskel takes a stand on an issue, so Tosfos says, then you do listen to the Baskel. That's not in violation of Lo Bashamayim Hi. And the Rambam says, Beferish, not so. The Rambam says, we never listen to... If a person comes and he proves that he's a Nabi, he gives us also Mofes, and then he tells us he was told in Nevuah what the din is. So the Rambam says, Biyadu that he's a Nabi Yasheke, you put him to death. Yeah, Tosfos gave another answer. Tosfos in the other Masechtas gives another answer. Why there's a difference between the Baskel by Rav Lezer and Yeshua and the Baskel by Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel didn't call upon a Baskel to say that the story with Rav Lezer and Yeshua, Rav Lezer said, the Kosle Beis HaMedush Yechichu, and the Amas HaMayim Tochiach, so the river started to flow backwards and the trees fell down, and the Kosle Beis HaMedush started to lean, and Rav Yeshua said, don't get involved. So they didn't fall down all the way. So the whole world was shaking up at that time. So then Rabbi Lezer says, "Ben Hashemayim Yochicho." So the Baskel came out. So he called for the Baskel. So since the Baskel had a respect for Rabbi Lezer, the Baskel said, "Yeah, we always pass like you. Yeah, you're the best. We always pass like you." So because he called upon the Baskel, he asked for the Baskel. That's why we don't pass. But the Baskel by Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, that was not called for. That was.
It's like a stamp of approval because they had the dinner at Acharei Rabbi Mahatos. That's it. The Baskel was Maimon no more.
Yeah.
You got it?
Right, that's what Tosis. Not really, no, but Beis Shammai held Acharei Mahatos doesn't apply when there's the miyut is Mechad HaDitveh. So the Baskel took a stand on a halacha.
But they passed that halacha because we go Acharei Rabbi. So the Rabbin was already established thing.
Yeah, but the Beis Shammai held, you don't go Basar. There is a Pasuk after Rabbin, but Beis Shammai held the Pasuk doesn't apply whenever the Miut is Mechad HaDitveh. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, we don't accept that, but if it's a different league, that's a different story. Okay. So even not talking a different league, Beis Shammai and Basar were in the same league, but the Beis Shammai won Mechad HaDitveh. The brilliant people are always, by definition, are always going to be in the minority. So Beis Shammai was the miut, and they were Mechad HaDitveh. It's always going to be like that. The minority is always going to be Mechad HaDitveh.
In other words, the Baskel was the deciding factor?
Yeah.
Is that what
touched? Yeah. There was deciding factor in this machlokes. What do you do? On the one hand, you have Rov. On the other hand, you have Mechad HaDitveh. So Beis Shammai held Mechad HaDitveh is the equivalent of different league. So you can't be outvoted. And Beis Hillel said, not so. It's basically the same league. Mechad HaDitveh is not enough. So the Baskel took a stand on the machlokes. The text says, when a Baskel takes a stand on an issue, we do listen to the Baskel. But if Baskel saying against the halacha, then we don't listen. So Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, that was against the halacha. Because Rabbi Yeshua had a whole camp of people who were very sharp also. They were all Mechad HaDitveh. Rabbi Lezer wasn't more Mechad HaDitveh than the whole group who disagreed with him. Anyway, so the Achranim say that this is a fundamental machlokes like the Tosfos and the Rambam. The Rambam says Lo Bashamayim Hi, extremely Lo Bashamayim Hi. The Rambam says it because he's defending the whole Jewish religion. He says that Muhammad came and he said he had Nevuah, that the mitzvahs in the Torah are not binding anymore. And also Ish came and he said the mitzvahs in the Torah no longer apply. So the Rambam says, we don't listen to any other prophet. Even if he made the noise, that's it. Lava Jemani. We follow the Dini Hatur. So what did Bishamay say in the Mishnah? Nochamol, that the correct way to recite Kiddush is first to say Kiddush and then to say Baruch Yagofen at the end. So the Gemara asks, is that true? On the second line from the top. Is Sari Bishamay Bichas Ayam Adifo, that the Bracha of Kiddush takes precedence to the Bracha of Baruch Yagofen, it should always come first, and then they ought to say the same by Havdalah. When you say Havdalah also, you should say first Havdalah, and then say Baruch Yagofen at the end. And we have a brisa that says not so. Aiva Atanya, what is it? A Tosefta, it says, Anichachu Beisa B'Matzoi Shabbos. Part of this we already discussed. A guy comes home after Ma'ariv on Matzoi Shabbos, Mevorach Al Yayin, he's saying Havdalah. So let him say Baruch Yagofen first. And it's Bishamai speaking. He says, say, when you say Havdalah, only when you say Kiddush, they say Kiddush first and then Baruch Yagofen second. But Havdalah, they also say, he said Baruch Yagofen first. Mevorach Al Yayin, Balamor, Balapsomim, we reverse it. We have first Psomim and then Bar Mi'ariyesh. V'chakach, Oyma Havdalah. V'mein Lalekoy Sechot. He only has one cup of wine. And he wants to eat Malav HaMalka, and he wants to bench after the Malav HaMalka. And when you bench, he's supposed to have Bichas HaMazon Alakos. That's what we discussed the other day. Everyone agrees that, let's say a guy's going to say L'Sata B'Tzitzis, and the one's going to have, he's going to say Baruch Yagofen. He's going to say L'Sata B'Tzitzis over a cup of wine. He's going to say Asher Yotza over a cup of wine. So that we don't have in the Gemara, that you enhance the significance of the Baruch Asher Yotza by saying Asher Yotza over a cup of wine. You don't have. By Bichas HaMazon Ala Yayin, yes. All the Tanaim agree that you enhance the significance of the Bichas HaMazon if you recite it as a toast over a cup of wine. That they all agree. But it's a machlokes hatanoim. How is it only a midas chasidus? It's a lechatchila, or is it? Everybody agrees if you don't have any wine, you can bench without any wine. That everybody agrees. Never was a machlokes on that. And everybody agrees that it enhances if you recite Berachas Hamazon al Hakos, even biyichidus, no mezumen at all. You enhance the significance of the Berachas Hamazon. Machlokes is to what extent did the chachamim require you should recite Berachas Hamazon al Hakos? Is it a real din? Bracha tuna kos, the halacha really requires if wine is available, you must recite Berachas HaMazon al Hakos, or it's only a midas chasidus, it's a recommendation. What's an afkamina? So that's an afkamina. He comes home on Mitzvah Shabbos, he doesn't have two cups of wine. If he would have more wine, he would say Havdalah over a cup of wine, he would eat his Malav Malka, and then say Berachas HaMazon over the second cup of wine. He only has 1.5 cups of wine, the Gemara is going to say, he doesn't have two full cups of wine. So if you hold Birchas HaMazon Eina Tuna Kos, it's a nice thing, it's a Hida Mitzvah, it's Lachatchila, but it's really not absolutely required, then we would say, recite the Havdalah first, don't eat your Malav Malka till after you say Havdalah, recite Havdalah on a Kos, drink up the cup of wine, and then you bench without a Kos. But if you hold Birchas HaMazon Tuna Kos, that's not proper, so then we would permit you to eat before Havdalah, because he wants to save the wine in order to recite the Birchas HaMazon al Hakos. That's what the case is.
The situation, at least in my story, they say Birchas HaMazon on the Chalashut, they say Birchas HaMazon al Hakos, but they don't drink the wine. They don't say a break of Gafen.
Right.
They hold it over until
after Havdalah, right. So the Gemara says, here the Gemara in the middle of the Omud, Nun Beisam Anwar has a din, HaMavarach Tzorch Sheyitam. If you recite a Bracha Alakos, you say Kiddush Alakos. Under the Chuppah, you recite a Bracha. By Bris, you recite. If you recite a Bracha Alakos and you don't taste it right away, you haven't gained anything. It's not called a Bracha Alakos. So there's one opinion, that's what it says in the Gemara. You have to drink b'loy lugmav. Even if you take a little sip and you didn't drink b'loy lugmav, also you're not yoytze. So there's one opinion in Tosfos that Kiddush ala yayin is the raisa, but Havarach Tzorch Sheyitam is only with the rabban. That you have to recite Kiddush over a cup of wine, that's been a Torah, but the requirement to drink, it's considered a toast. Kiddush should be recited as a toast over a cup of wine. But the taking a sip, that's only Rabban. That's a very strange opinion. But that's what we do by Shal HaShulis. We said, really, strictly speaking, the Magen Avraham is a standard commentary on the side of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch. So the Magen Avraham says, strictly speaking, after you have Shal HaShulis, and then you bench, it's already time for Havdalah. So you're not allowed to eat anything else. But strictly speaking, you're allowed to drink the wine, because the wine is still considered connected with the meal. Because I recited Birchas Hamazon, and then the wine belongs to the Birchas Hamazon. There's even one opinion, we discussed, there's even one opinion in Halachas Gedolos that you don't have to say Al HaGefen after you drink the wine, because it's covered with the Birchas Hamazon that you said before. So we don't follow that. We don't accept that opinion. But that shows how strong this idea is, that the drinking of the cup is considered a hamshach of the meal. So, strictly speaking, it should have been permissible to drink the cup of wine that you bench over, but the Magen Avraham says, since very often in the middle of the week we will bench, and we will not recite benching halakos. So we demonstrate that we really don't follow that opinion that you have to recite Birchas Hamazon halakos. So that's why, if it's before Havdalah, and we're finished and we're benching for Shal HaShulis, we really shouldn't drink the wine. So if you're not drinking the wine, so what do you gain by holding the cup of wine? Yeah. If you're not drinking wine, so according to one opinion of Tosfos, it's called the bracha lakos menater. But we really don't paskin like that opinion. We paskin the whole alayin is only the rabbanon. Kiddush alayin, zachrei alayin. We hold the whole alayin is only the rabbanon. So only kiddush bedvarim is derais. Tosfos came up with this idea that kiddush alayin is derais, but hamavrach tzar sheyitam is only the rabbanon. The requirement to take a sip of it, to drink it, is only the rabbanon. And it's called the toast over a cup of wine, even though you're not drinking the wine. Whoever makes a toast, b'nag shabalim, they drink the schnapps. They drink the wine when they make a toast. It's not in style anymore. People don't make toasts. But years ago, they used to make a toast over them. Toast to the Chosin Kalam, toast to the Mechutanim, toast to the Queen of England, to the Prime Minister. Prime Minister of Israel. We used to make toasts all over the world. Yeah. Yeah. So Nachamon. So that's the story here. The fellow, Mark explains, the fellow only has one cup of wine. Meanwhile, he only has one cup, and was going to modify it. He has 1.5 cups. Let's see. He doesn't have enough wine. If he has enough, let him say Havdol alayayin and drink the cup of wine. Eat your malava malk, and then say Birchas Hamazon alakos. But he doesn't have 2 cups of wine. So he has a dilemma. Should he say Havdalah and then have Malava Malka after Havdalah? You're not supposed to eat before Havdalah. And then when he benches after the Malava Malka, he will not be able to recite Birchas Hamazon HaKos. So b'dieved, everyone agrees you can do it. But is that really something improper, highly improper? Because really, Mi'ikar Adin, Birchas Hamazon should have a kos. So this time is all the opinion. Mi'ikar Adin, Birchas Hamazon needs a kos. So therefore we say we permit him to eat the Malama Malka before Havdalah because he wants to recite the Birchas Hamazon Halakos. And what is he going to say Havdalah later? He's going to say both Birchas Hamazon and Havdalah over the same cup of wine. That's usually a violation of Eimais and Mitzvahs Chavilas, Eiram Mishtei Kedushas HaKlei Secha, but you have no choice. So the Gemara says, and Arvi Pesach, you got no choice. So you violate that din also. He's violating 2 dinim. He's going to violate the din because ain't ala koisechot. So he's going to violate the din eating before Havdalah, because he's going to say Havdalah first. He won't be able to recite Birchas Hamazon ala kos. And he's violating also the din of ain't ala mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. He has no choice. Ain't ala koisechot. So he has to recite both Birchas Hamazon and Havdalah over the same cup of wine. It's a chiddush, a big chiddush. He saves the wine for after the Malava Malka. And he says all the brachas. He says the Havdalah and the Birchas Hamazon and the Bar Me'aresh and the Bar Minim Samim, all the 4 brachas he says after he finishes eating the Malava Malka. So the Gemara says, there you have a Tosefta, a Braise, and it's Beishamai speaking. How do you know it's Beishamai? We're going to demonstrate. And it's Beishamai speaking, and they say, when they say Havdalah, they say Bar Piagofen first, and then they say Havdalah. So the Gemara says, who said that it goes like Beishamai? Maybe it goes like Basila, that in Kiddush. Kiddush and Abdullah and a bris and under the chuppah, you always say Bar Piagofen first. But and this tosef to be my the bishama he didn't be silly. Maybe you say Bar Piagofen first by Kiddush and by Abdullah. That's like Bisil. No, lo sagadai, that can't be. Because the Brisa says that the Sefta says he first say Bar Mary Hoesh Vachaka Psamim, and that's Beishamai Shita. Beisilva doesn't agree. Beisilva say the way we do. We have first Bar Minim Psamim and then Bar Mary Hoesh. So that's how the Gemara proves. And Man Shamas like this, Lehi Sfar, who holds like that? That you first say Bar Minim Psamim, then you say Bar Mary Hoesh. That's Beishamai the Tanya. Am Rab Yudah, there was Machlek Zamei Rab Yudah. So Rab Yudah claims like that, that is the Machlek, is Beishamai and Beisilva. So the Gemara, a few lines later, around 7 lines later, Mimai the Bishamai Elibid Reb Yehuda, who says that the Tosefta goes like Bishamai, Reb Yehuda's version, Dilma Beisilil Elibid Reb Meir. According to Reb Meir's version, Beisilil also agree with Bishamai. They both agree that you say Bar Meir Reish first. So maybe the Brisa goes like Beisilil, who says it goes like Bishamai. Gemara says no. Lo Yisal Gadaita. Why did Tanei Hachem Mas Nisin? Bishama Yamrim, Nera Mazim, Bisamim, Bahavdala, Bisilamim, Nera Bisamim, Bazim, Bahavdala, Bahasma, Brysik Tani, Mainla, Lukasek, Menichalach, and Bazim, Shamachur, Shmamina, the Bishama Yishai. It's not Basil, Shai. The Gemara says it's Bishama Shit. So what was the Kasha? Nachma, what was the Kasha? In the Mishnah, Bishama, you're of the opinion every Shabbos night when you say Kiddush, first say Kiddush, then you say Bar Piagofen at the end. Why? Because the Kiddush is a Birchas HaMitzvah. Kiddush HaMitzvah min HaTorah. And the Bar Piagofen is only Midi Rabbanan. Huh? Whatever. He gave the Beishamah, gave two different reasons. And the Braisa, he gave two different reasons. So the Gemara asks, why don't you say the same by Havdalah? Beishamah should say the same by Havdalah. First to say Havdalah, then to say Bar Piagofen. The Gemara says, no, that's the answer. Mikomakom Kasha. And for the Gemara, Shaini Iyuli Yameh Me'apukeh Yameh. Yuli Yom on Friday night when you want to, Shabbos is entering, Kamen Dimekad Minalei Odif. You want to accept Shabbos as early as possible. So rather than say first Bar Piagofen and then Kiddush, we say the Kiddush first. So we accept the Shabbos a moment earlier. The official greeting of Shabbos is earlier. He already did Marv and Shul. He already did accept Shabbos. But Apuki Yom when Shabbos is over, he already said Atachan Antonim and Shul. But still, bidding Shabbos farewell, the official bidding of farewell is the Havdalah, so Apukiyam, Mukam de Machrinale, or if Kech de Levi Alan, Kim Maser. It shouldn't seem like as if we're in a rush to get rid of this Shabbos. So we say the Havdalah all the way, and we say Bar Piagofen first, then Havdalah. Yeah, this is a Shaila. The Ramah and Shulchan Aruch says that when you come home on Chanukah, on Matzoi Shabbos, and you have a choice of either lighting Neres Chanukah first, or saying Havdalah first. Neres Chanukah is only 8 nights a year, and Havdalah is over 50 times a year. So on the one hand, you should say Torah B'Shem, the Torah Kodem. It should light the Neres Chanukah first. You should say Havdalah first. Torah B'Shem Torah Torah Kodem. You should say Havdalah first. Say Havdalah first. So the Ramah says that. What does the Ramah say? Nachama. Ramah distinguishes the Taz distinguishes between in shul and at home. In Shulchan Aruch, the machlek is the Mechaber and the Ramah. And the Taz makes a compromise. So the Taz says, "Shaini yapu." He quotes this Gemara, "Shaini apuke yama me iyuda yama." If you have a toss-up, which should you say first? Havdalah hadlokas neres Chanukah. So you should say Havdalah last. You should bid farewell to Shabbos 2 minutes later. First, late neres Chanukah, and then say Havdalah. That's what the Taz thinks. The Mikra Din. You should say the Havdalah list. So the Taz says in Shul, the minig is already mefursim all over, that you say Havdalah. He says the minig in shul is that you light Neres Chanukah first. You light Neres Chanukah first, and then you say Havdalah last. But he says at home, but he says at home, you should do the opposite. You should first say Havdalah, and then light the Neres Chanukah. And who's the one who quotes this svarik? Sanya Puka Yami Meyuliyam. I forgot. The Ramo says like that. I forgot already.
Shulchan Aruch says it.
Shulchan Aruch says which way? That what? That on Leilsh on. Is there a machlekes and mechaber Ramo? You gotta take a look there. I forgot already. I think there's a machlekes and mechaber the Ramo on Matzoi Shabbos, which they do first in Shul. These light there is Chanukah first, or these Havdalah first. So the common practice is they light Neres Chanukah first. So the Ramo thinks. So the Ramo thinks that the Kal Vachomer at home, because everybody already said Atochan Antonu and Shul. I guess Pesuminisa Adif. Another consideration. Pesuminisa Adif. You should say you should light Neres Chanukah first.
Ah,
so there's no machlok in the Mechaber and the Ramo. They both say the same thing. They're both at home and in shul. The Mechaber only speaks about in shul, and the Ramo at zayin at home.
And the Ramo says,
so the Ramo is based on this Gemara that we should save Havdalah to the end. We should save Havdalah to the end. Here the Gemara is talking within Havdalah. Should you say Bar Piagofen first or Havdalah first? So the Gemara says even Mishama agree that you say first Bar Piagofen then Havdalah to postpone Havdalah. Here we're talking about that's within the Havdalah, which bracha comes first. Here we're talking about two different mitzvahs. Hadlokas HaMendorah and Chanukah and reciting of Havdalah. So the Ramo still says you should save the Havdalah to rest. And the Taz is not happy, so the Taz thinks we should do this compromise. Then in shul, we should do like the common practice, that you first light Neres Chanukah because Pesuminisa Adif. Pesuminisa takes precedence. If you have Mitzvah A and Mitzvah B, and you're interested in doing both, and as far as you're concerned, it does make a difference. So if one of the mitzvahs involves Pesuminisa, that's more important. So we want to be in 5 minutes earlier. That's what the Ramo holds, both at home and in shul. And the Taz thinks not so. The Taz thinks that we should distinguish. Yeah. Why should he distinguish? I don't remember really. It's a very long Taz. Very long Taz. So the Bi'ur HaGra quotes our Gemara to explain. It's a very long Taz, and the Bi'ur HaGra says on this long comment, called Dvarav D'chuyim, just one line. It's all wrong. And he quotes our Gemara, Shani Yuli Yam Me'apuke Yam. So the Havdalah comes last. Yeah. So then the Gemara has a problem. If you're interpreting that this Tosefta that's on the third line follows Beis Shammai's opinion, and that the Sefta permits you to eat Malav HaMalka before saying Havdalah, why? You're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. The answer is because you want to recite Birchas HaMazon ala kos, and you hold Birchas HaMazon really to una kos, not just it'll enhance it. It's a real requirement with the Rabbanim. Whenever wine is available, you have to. So how can that be? But we know that Beis Shammai don't hold like that. That's the Gemara's next kasha. So to that, the Gemara responds, Trei Tanai Aliva de Beis Shammai. That's on the first white line. There are two versions of what Beis Shammai said. Where the Beis Shammai hold, that's the Gemara's kasha. B'savi Beis Shammai b'yichas ha-mos and tunakos v'tanan. They seem to hold Einu tunakos. So the Gemara says on the first white line, Trei Tanai Aliva de Beis Shammai. That's two versions of what Beis Shammai hold. B'yichas ha-mos and is tunakos or it's not tunakos. Yeah, but till you get to that, so we left out a little bit of Gemara. So maybe we'll say that for tomorrow. Gemara discusses Birchas Hamazon. Gemara discusses Hamavarch Tzor Sheyitom. You have to drink it. You have to sip it directly from the cup. Or can you pour some of the wine into another cup and drink the wine from the other cup? In order to fulfill the requirement Hamavarch Tzor Sheyitom, is it necessary to drink from the cup that you recited the Havdalah from? Then you're going to make the wine into Yayin Pogum. So I believe that tomorrow we'll start from that Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that it is okay if you pour it to another cup. In Shulchan Aruch, that's a machlokes. Okay. So, in case anybody shows up tomorrow, we will learn at regular time, 12:45.
Is that a third reason for the Shama?
Who's the one that had that whole beer?